The Big Lead is brought to you by 3010 Weight Loss for Life.
The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from the Carter Silver of Studio. Welcome to our top stories this hour. When I say chickens, what state comes to mind? Is there a state that you associate the chicken industry with?
I would say either Oregon or Kentucky. Why?
Really, Kentucky?
Yeah, I don't know why, but
well,
why?
Well, a listener just said that.
Is that right?
Yeah, and it looks like Georgia and Alabama and Arkansas are the top producing states. But a listener made an excellent point in the text messages because I played that audio that ABC News showed of Turkey, they said, bombing and attacking Syria, but it was actually from a gun range in Kentucky. And one of our listeners from the 253 writes, does anyone find it ironic that ABC accused Turkey of bombing Kentucky, the state most closely associated with chicken? I, for one, am beginning to think there may be some merit to the conspiracy theory about the deep state poultry industrial complex crossover.
You know that they're saying that because of Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Oh, of course. Okay. Yes, Kentucky. That never even crossed my mind. Kentucky is the state most close, even if they're not the top producer. So, yes, ABC, it is part of the deep state to show what they purported to be Turkey actually bombing Kentucky. The deep state poultry industrial complex crossover. That's a great theory. And I will look into that more, and I appreciate the tip on that. So then after your newscast, I mentioned that I didn't hear your story, Hannah Scott's story. We have some city council members down at Amazon protesting today, to which I asked the question, are they doing it, you know, did they take a vacation day? Did they take personal time? And we're still trying to get a definitive answer on that. But then a bunch of text messages came in and said, you must have missed, and I was out of the studio. They said, you must have missed the Sawat soundbite that Hannah Scott had in her rap. So, and here it is. This is Sawat's message, why we should continue to allow, because Amazon is donating money to try to get a more business-friendly city council in place in the upcoming elections, and that would mean replacing Sawant, who ironically gets more than half of her donations from out-of-state socialist organizations. It's very rare for a city council member to get most of their donations from out-of-state, but Sawant does, the Socialist Party funds her. But here was her message outside of Amazon today.
If you are fed up that your lives suck so badly, proudly embrace the struggle we're in.
So, if your life sucks, embrace socialism. Because I will tell you what, if there is somebody who is the action, just the embodiment, the physical and emotional manifestation of happiness and well-being, it's her.
If you are fed up that your lives suck so badly, proudly embrace the struggle we're in.
Is that grammatically correct? That your lives sucks so badly? Or should it just be suck? You're
suck.
A bit of a linguist. So we should, because I don't like
your lives. That's plural.
Yes, that your lives sucks. So, Nicole.
Although you could say that she put the two words together because she said so bad after the word.
No, I thought I heard like separation between sucks and so. I could, but I hate, because I know people accuse me of being a savant apologist. I hate making her look stupid. Maybe for subsequent airings of this, do you think we could slice and dice and do a little edit and take the S off of sucks?
Sure.
I don't want to make her sound
on
bad.
It.
Okay, let me see if we do have separation between sucks and so.
If you are fed up that your lives suck so badly, proudly embrace the...
You could be right.
She's right.
It could be sucks so badly. Okay. Glad we got that one cleared up. You know what I've missed, though? I haven't heard a good call and response with Sawant for a while.
When billionaires are on the attack, what do we do?
Stand up, fight back.
When billionaires are on the attack, what do we do?
Stand up, fight back.
Sorry, but who are the people who do the response to Sawant? Give me some glimpse. In fact, listeners, kind of like with the turkey, Kentucky chicken thing, you have remarkably incredible insights. Will you text me the backstory, as you imagine it, of the people who do the response to her call? The stand up, fight back.
Well, I think that Michael Bryan's back there.
Well, I got some Michael Bryan here, too. But I'm trying to imagine standing with a crowd of people waiting for Sawant to say something so I can repeat a response with everybody else. It's this robotic mindlessness.
When billionaires are on the attack, what do we do?
Stand up, fight back.
When billionaires are on the attack.
Let's hear from Mike O'Brien, for crying out loud.
They are going to spend a pittance of their money to defend their right to not have to be treated fairly and not have to pay fair taxes to the city. And that is disgusting.
You know what? Mike O'Brien talking about somebody not playing fair, I think we should take it from him. I mean, he doesn't like the wealthy. I know. He was born in Clyde Hill and went to Lakeside and Duke, and he's never wanted for anything for one second of his life. And I know when his wife had her little kimchi, or still does apparently, her kimchi business, they were using volunteer slave labor, which is illegal. I know. And so they could, you know, avoid paying people what they were earning. So it's interesting to hear the righteous indignation of Mike O'Brien with his sleazy background. Hey, Mike, you make Amazon look like Mother Teresa. Okay, and with all that as mere prelude, let's get to our big lead this hour.
The Big Lead, Dory Monson Show exclusive.
If you're listening to my show yesterday, you heard me talk with a journalist who went on the streets of San Francisco, bought fentanyl, and validated everything that I've been saying about the drug vagrancy problem here in Seattle. And that is, our local leaders are doing everything 180 degrees wrong. First of all they're focused on is housing for the offenders. They're not focused on the business owners who are so deeply affected. Not at all. They almost have contempt for the business owners. We got an email from a guy who sent us pictures, four pictures of what appear to be heroin addicts passed out on piles of garbage right in front of his business. And the business owner is Dustin Boast at Seattle Beer Company down near the Pike Place Market. Dustin, I appreciate you coming on with me this afternoon.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
How long you guys been in business?
So we've been open for about 40 months.
Okay. And when did you start seeing, I mean, were things bad, this bad when you opened up, or have they spiraled downhill since then?
Yeah, so when we opened up, we noticed the problem right away. So the lower level, we have two levels, and there's the street level and then the second level. And at the second level, we've had people constantly just kind of living in front of the doors at night. Every time we walk in, we have to basically, you know, if we see somebody, call the police or call the MID, which is the Yellow Jackets, the MID downtown department.
Yeah.
So we've had that issue. Yeah. So we've noticed it from the start.
And what kind of response do you get when you make your calls?
So I've had to probably call. I probably made 200 calls to the police in the 40 months that we've been open. And we've had sometimes where 2-3 hours before we even see somebody coming to do anything about it. And then what's kind of frustrating on my standpoint is that we have to clean up the mess. And that includes picking up needles, or as some people say, just pushing to the side. And people have to walk by and see these needles and try to avoid them, really, or the garbage or whatnot. It's just frustrating that we have to spend all our time and energy as safety concern for my employees as well as myself. So it's just kind of frustrating that no one's there to help us. As being a small business owner, we only have about 10 employees or so. And it's just continually frustrating part of being out.
Do you have human waste that you have to deal with too?
Well, there's kind of like, I think the Department of Transportation manages they call it the Hill Climb area. And, we don't clean that up, but sometimes we've seen people, there's kind of bushes and whatnot people use.
So as a business owner, you heard my comments as I was introducing you, that what we hear from the politicians, and look, I believe we should get drug and alcohol treatment for everybody who needs and wants it. I think we should get mental health treatment, and I think we should help with a transition to self-sufficiency. But instead, our policy is, let's legalize drugs, which we have done in King County, personal possession amounts of drugs. We'll legalize drugs. We have essentially legalized shoplifting so people can feed their habits. And it's all backwards, Dustin, that instead of taking care of the job creators and the tax providers, which is small business like you, we are focusing on this bizarre strategy that is obviously making things much, much worse on our streets.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. On my side, I don't know what I could do. I pay my taxes, and we don't get any help. And it's kind of frustrating that we sit there. We're in a highly touristy area, and so we get people from all over the country as well as the world. And they're coming to Seattle to check off that bucket list, and they're just disappointed to come back here and see. Literally, we've seen people tie up in front of our location, and it's like, sitting there with a couple from Kansas a couple months ago, and I'm like, you guys ready to see somebody shoot up?
Yeah.
Man. And they're like, are you serious? It's like, what's going to happen here? And it's going to be sad, and it's going to only continue to trickle down and get a bad reputation and hurt tourism, hurt businesses like myself with this problem. And there's no, like, I don't know what to do from my standpoint to voice my concerns or to get that help. And who's out there? Is it the politicians? Is it, the police? I probably met with about 10 to 12 police officers that have come in, and they're the community relationship, and they sit there but their hands are really tied. They're like, well, I've had one tell me that they've literally arrested somebody, and then that same shift, they arrested somebody again, and they're out on the same crime that they just committed. And it's sad. And I don't know, what to do. And that's why I kind of reached out to you. Cause on Monday, I found all these issues, and I like all these people that have just left all these needles and garbage in front of my door. And I called a couple of places, and they just didn't have any answer for me.
Yeah. And I mean, the solution is we do need a wholesale change on the city council, and people are going to have that chance coming up. I mean, every incumbent should be out. They absolutely have to get rid of Jenny Durkin as mayor because she is as ineffective as possible. And it's time to start having some business-friendly people in politics. And I know what you're talking about with the cops. The cops on the street, they're as frustrated as anybody because their hands are tied, and they know that it's useless to write up any of these because the offenders are going to get kicked loose right away. See, here's my question for you, Dustin. These are kind of boom times economically here in Seattle, and there are a lot of businesses teetering on the brink because of the drugs and because of the street crime. What's it going to be like when we have that inevitable cyclical economic downturn for businesses in Seattle?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be dark times. We see even when the tourism, like right there in the market or in that area, we're heavily dependent on the summer tourist rush. When the winter comes, it's a slowdown. But imagine that more. Yeah, it's going to affect everybody. And, it's going to be unfortunate to see. And Seattle's got a lot of other bigger issues the staffing or getting employees into the city with transportation, housing costs, and everything else. So we'll see how that changes, but I'm not sure, like as a business owner, we have to make those decisions. I know I wanted to open a second location in Seattle, but that's not a reality. I don't want to do business in Seattle again. So I'm going to just consider opening another location in another state potentially. But yeah, I have a good living and I enjoy it. I invested as a small company. It's, you know, my blood, sweat, and tears in this place, but it's kind of frustrating that I can't, you know, live out my dream or kind of run this business and really fully, you know, spread my wings and grow and continue to operate in Seattle, where it's, to me, a big concern going forward.
When did you first have that dream? How old were you when you first started thinking you wanted to be an entrepreneur?
Yeah. I mean, I had a golf ball and pop business when I was 10 years old. I grew up in Eastern Washington, went to University of Washington, graduated about 15 years ago with finance and accounting degrees. And then I did the corporate deal, but then I've always wanted to run my own business. And I'm at the point where I opened my own shop. You know, it's been about 4 years, and now I'm sitting there. You know, do I want to stay in Seattle? And that's a serious issue. Is I've seen the city grow, good and bad, but it's also the point where I've never seen anything like it. I live downtown. A lot of people I know, you know, live on the east side, Bellevue, Issaquah, whatnot. They commute in the city. They go work in the corporate buildings, and then they just get out of the city. But being downtown, you literally see the issues. You see the people. You see the same homeless or drug users just on the streets, and it's a different scene to see it on a daily basis. I know that park right up just a little bit north of us in Victor Steinberg Park,
sure,
is full. That should be one of the number one stops for anybody that comes downtown. And that park is littered with garbage, bottles, drug users, and people screaming with their shirts off.
Oh yeah, well, I've seen it.
And I see tourists, or just tourists, or just people that are in town that want to come downtown to the city and literally have to avoid it and walk away. And hopefully they don't get harassed or jumped at, or, you know, god awful something else to happen to them. And that's what's kind of frustrating is we're told just to kind of like cross the street or not look at the issues that are going on, or hopefully this person doesn't talk to us. But it's kind of like these people are like, they're especially when ones that are screaming and yelling at nobody. And I have videos, and it's an issue I see every day of people just screaming at nothing. And it's like, wait a sec. I mean, we had a lady that actually, some guy was screaming just down the street from us when we first opened up. She went over, tried to console the person, and he ripped off her shirt and tackled her. And I'm on the phone to the police when that happened. And it's like, hey, you guys need to come and do something. Like, don't try to do this ourselves. And we're waiting. We're reactionary instead of pro-actionary. And it's just frustrating to see that on a daily basis.
And as this has degraded kind of incrementally, day by day, it sneaks up on all of us. But as best you can, take me back to that 10-year-old kid who wanted to be an entrepreneur. How sad does it make you, the reality of what you have to deal with versus the dreams you had as a kid to do what you're doing?
Well, first off, I'm extremely blessed and happy to be where I'm at. So you know, this is just an issue that I'm focused on. That's kind of a negative that really, it is a negative that I have to struggle with. I've spent my time and energy on this instead of marketing my business, instead of doing fun events or, you know, focusing on my employees. This is just takes away time that when we're a small business, I don't have a team of 100 people or certain departments. So I love what I do, and I love being my own boss and running my own business. But just going forward and kind of looking at the growth patterns or kind of just the overall the struggles that you deal with, this is just kind of one of the biggest issues or biggest negative to deal with is coming in and knowing I got to step over someone to get into my business, or I have to open my door and hopefully this person doesn't run in and assault my bartender, or they don't come in and steal items, or you know, whatever that issue is.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
those are just issues we have to face. So, yeah.
Well, I'm glad you helped get the word out by doing things like contacting me and talking with me. And I think this illustrates the importance that we do need a massive wholesale change politically in the city. And I hope people finally start waking up to that.
Yeah, I think that people need to see, you know, a lot of people don't see from driving their cars or taking the bus and going to work and going home, that they don't see that there's a real issue of, I mean, seen on a daily basis, that this is an ongoing thing, that people are not going to keep coming downtown. Downtown is going to be becoming less and less of a destination or more of an inconvenience instead of a premier destination to kind of celebrate the city and everything that we have to offer here. And And hopefully, I guess, you know, the election is going to be the main kicker. But for me, on a personal standpoint, I've been told different things every year. Oh, elect this mayor or go for this person.
Yeah.
That didn't work. That didn't work. And so it's just very frustrating where it's like, is this going to be the issue? And hopefully it is. Hopefully, you know, we have people that go into politics that want to help and actually focus on, you know, the business operators and whatnot. So I appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, I agree. And you sound like a good guy. Everybody should go support Dustin, Seattle Beer Company, down in the Pike Place Market area in the Hill Climb. Dustin, great talking with you. Appreciate it. Sorry for what you're going through.
No problem. Thank you.
All right. Up next in the big lead. Now, what am I talking about? I'm out. That was the big lead right there, for crying out loud. And today's sign, or no, what's next? Awesome Audio. Awesome Audio is coming up next. So I heard in your news that Juul is connected to all these vaping problems. Mm-hmm. So I just want to announce, as a matter of personal policy, effective right now, I'm going to ban Juul from my radio show.
She has a beautiful voice, though.
Oh, like a songbird angel. Let's get to our favorite sound bites of the day.
This is Dory Monson's Awesome Audio. Clips of the day.
By the way, you know her brother lives in Blaine?
Juul's brother?
Yeah.
Let's get her on the show. I really like her.
You know what? I met her once. She was all right.
She goes on Howard Stern a lot. She's really...
She wasn't the nicest.
Really?
I mean,
Juul?
It was just the situation.
You're the one who always says I get sidetracked going into Awesome Audio. What are you doing?
She didn't want to talk to any of the little people. I don't know.
I always thought, weird. I don't know if she's fixed it, but when that first video, Who Will Save Your Soul, came out,
She
had that little snaggle tooth. I thought that was really cute.
I'm sure that she was just, you know, didn't want to be bothered that day. Anyway,
you know what?
Random trivia for you.
I'm ending my ban. Like that. Okay, did we already play the open, Chris, to Awesome Audio?
We did.
Okay, all right, excellent. And number three, Megyn Kelly, her first interview since parting ways, really getting canned by NBC. She was on with Tucker Carlson last night, and she was talking about how even what's considered mainstream used to be journalistic news, there's no neutrality anymore.
Number three.
Right before Trump was elected, Jorge Ramos of Univision came on my show, and we had a very heartfelt discussion about journalism in America, and he made a strong plea for journalists to abandon neutrality. He said, that's over. You've got to come out and you've got to say, Trump's a racist, Trump's a misogynist, Trump's a bigot. So whatever your view is, you've got to say it, you've got to sell it, and that the time for neutrality is past. And I do believe he's persuaded, and others have come to their own conclusion, that that's the way forward. That's why we had a question. There was another CNN debate where Don Lemon specifically said, how do you answer voters who prioritize the economy over Trump's bigotry? But it's the anchor's subjective judgment, and it doesn't belong, in my view, in a debate question. Same way as the New York Times is arguing, the old schoolers with the young folks, about whether the Times should be, quote, part of the resistance.
I wonder if this interview was her on-air audition to take Shepard Smith's job, since he just stepped aside.
I would love to see her come back to Fox.
She was in her wheelhouse there. NBC, I said it was going to be the worst mistake of her career. She made $58 million. But other than that, it was a horrible mistake. At number two, Mike Rowe, the host of Dirty Jobs, he gave his take on the Democrat debate a couple nights ago.
Number two.
You can't ignore the human condition. Right. We're fundamentally lazy people. Mm-hmm. We have to be taught, I think, to not be lazy.
Don't call Ainsley that. I don't mind if you call me that, but please.
I'm calling you fundamental. I'm calling me lazy.
I think that's worse.
Well, I'm just saying that, you know, if you give me a choice, and I don't see myself as lazy, but if you give me a choice of the easy way or the hard way, I can't help it. I'm going to default to the easy way.
Wait, free money?
Free money.
I want it.
So, look, that my only concern, not my only concern, but my biggest concern with that kind of arguing is exactly what we discussed yesterday and just now. Once you say, okay, free money, the next question has to be, why not more? And that's the beef with the $5,000 surge in the middle class right now. How do you argue against that? You simply say it's not big enough.
But yes, economies in American households are doing fantastically well right now. And at number one, LeBron James, he used to be King James. Now he's Comrade James after bowing down to China. Here's another reason. It's not just his Nike deal, but he's in Space Jam 2, and they are counting on the Chinese market being huge. So remember when he said this?
We all talk about this freedom of speech. Yes, we all do have freedom of speech. But at times, there are ramifications for the negative that can happen when you're not thinking about others. So many people could have been harmed, not only financially, but physically, emotionally, spiritually. So just be careful what we tweet and we say.
He's right about that. But one thing you got to give, I'm not a big South Park fan, but one thing you got to give them credit for is how fast they can turn stuff around in the news.
Number one.
Yes, we do all have freedom of speech, but at times there are ramifications for the negative that can happen when you're not thinking about others and you're only thinking about yourself.
Whoa, what's going on, kids?
The protesters are trying to kill Eric again, Mr. Mackey.
Okay, kids, we don't want another incident here, okay?
They're trying to change people's lunch. They don't realize it harms people financially, physically, emotionally, and spiritually.
Those are our favorite sound bites of the day, Awesome Audio. And today's sign is next. And down the stretch we come. What a day, what a show, what a show, what a day. And we still have more to do as we present today's edition of
Today's Sign that the End is Near.
Today's sign the world is soon coming to an end. Dateline Kennewick, Washington. It's one of the Tri-Cities. The other two, of course, being Minneapolis and St. Paul. Kennewick police need your help. Tracking down a woman, they got a pretty good image of her. They say that she stole a large adult novelty item from Castle Megastore. Surveillance video captured images of the suspect. Police hope someone recognizes her. I'll give a description as best I can. She looks pretty petite, fairly thin. Short brunette hair, and she has a large adult novelty item. And if you can't find her from that description, I don't know what else I can do. Today's sign story number two. Dateline New Holland, Pennsylvania. Town motto, we ain't like that old Holland. A school district in Pennsylvania plans to spend $2.4 million renovating its locker rooms to make them non-gender specific. Board members approved the plans on Monday. They will have, instead of any communal boys and girls showers, the new locker rooms will feature 76 private showers and 48 private changing areas. The superintendent says, we took the input from a lot of different groups along the way, and I think we're at a point now where everyone sees the wisdom in doing what we're doing. No! Not everyone sees the wisdom. This is what happens when you get a bunch of government bureaucrats in their own echo chamber where the only thing they hear are the social justice warriors who have been brainwashing our kids for 13 years in the public schools. Not everybody sees the wisdom of spending $2.4 million so that your locker rooms are gender neutral. I mean, I was horrified as a child just being around boys in the locker room. I can't even begin to imagine what it would have been like. And that's the thing. That's the standard that every school, and frankly, that every government decision should be filtered through. How would this have affected little Dory? And man, if they use that that prism through which to view the world, we would save our taxpayers a lot of money. All right, and then finally in today's sign, Austin Davis is 20 years old, and he only has eaten one thing for the last 17 years. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner, Austin will eat nothing but macaroni and cheese. Whoops. Here we go. Let's hear from Austin right here.
I don't want to say I'm addicted to mac and cheese, but because it sounds so weird, but like my body won't let me eat anything else.
His body won't let him eat. Look, I'm a picky eater. I thought I was about as picky as they come. But according to a therapist, Austin has a selective eating disorder known as avoidant restrictive food intake disorder, a mental condition where new foods can trigger negative physical reactions. Okay, I do have a little bit of that, in all seriousness. I do. I'm not proud of it. In fact, I'm kind of ashamed of it. It's a challenge that I've had to manage my whole life. When my wife and I get invited over to somebody's house for dinner, it's bad. He says that it has a negative impact on his social life. He doesn't eat out, and he maintains few friendships. And he wants that to change, but he says he cannot bear the thought of eating anything that's not yellow. His favorite is mac and cheese made with Velveeta, the Velveeta shells and cheese. But, you know, one thing I will say, if you know what you want, $48 last night at the county fair. Then why not just dance with what brung you? That sounds awful. It sounds like a horrible way to go through life. And that's coming from somebody who has a little touch of what this guy has. But on the positive side, at least he's found something that he likes and that he wants. I like it. I love it. I want some more of it. I try so hard. I can't back above it. Don't know what it is about that little girl's love. I bet you didn't know this song was about Velveeta shells and cheese, did you? And all of that is today's sign, the end is near. I got to get out of here. I've said everything I have to say for today. But I'll go home and think up some new stuff for our Friday extravaganza. Seahawks coach Pete Carroll will join me from 12:30 to 1 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. Do not miss that. Hope you have a fantastic rest of your Thursday. Candy, Mike, and Todd are coming up next, and I will see you back here tomorrow, high noon.
Dory?
Dory!
Dory!
I remembered something. That's not possible. Is it?
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.